What was sustaining the accumulation of capital since the 1970s was the turning from seeking profits via productive efficiency to seeking profits via financial manipulations, more correctly called speculation. The key mechanism of speculation is encouraging consumption via indebtedness. This is, of course, what happened in every contrariative bifaith. What was different this time has been the scale and the ingenuity of the new financial instruments used to pursue speculative activity. The biggest A-phase expansion in the history of the capitalist world economy has been followed by the biggest speculative mania. And my interjection, one of the helpful things Wallerstein does is he follows the global money. He gets us thinking big, like power does, which should help us to enlarge our response, help us understand that our response must be commensurate. Continuing, it's not hard to follow the successive targets of indebtedness, each producing a bubble and each finally collapsing. And in another interjection, what is a bubble if not a sweeping up, a gathering together of as much of the world's treasure as one can at any particular time, place, moment, stripping the meat off the bone, aggregating planetary resources. Continuing, the first big one, bubble, was the OPEC-induced large oil price rises in 1973 and 79. The OPEC price rise was sponsored not by the radical members of OPEC, but by Saudi Arabia and Iran of the Shah, the two closest allies of the United States among the OPEC members. There's long been reason to believe that the United States encouraged their moves. In any case, the financial consequences of the oil price rises were clear. A great deal of money flowed into the coffers of the OPEC countries. This had a double negative effect on non-oil exporting states in the South and the socialist bloc. They had to pay more for the needed oil and all products made with oil. And their export income was reduced because of the recession in North America and Western Europe. The balance of payments difficulties of these countries were leading to popular unrest. Another interjection. This is another helpful thing about Wallerstein. He shows us how power strategizes, how it schemes, how it operates behind scenes, that the official policy is theater. Continuing, the OPEC countries couldn't utilize immediately all of the increased income and deposited the rest in Western banks. The banks sent emissaries to the countries of the South and the socialist bloc to offer them loans to alleviate the balance of payments difficulties, which almost all of them readily accepted. These countries found it difficult, however, to keep up with repayments to the banks, eventually causing the so-called debt crisis. It was publicly signaled by Mexico's default in 1982. Actually, however, it really started with Poland's near default in 1980, the austerity measures that the Polish government put into effect in order to make debt payments were the trigger for Solidarnosc. Interjection. Is it clear that if we on the left had developed our new story, our opposite of power, and were operating with accurate definitions, i.e., with the definition of capitalism, discussed most recently in the April 27th show, that it is a means for power to achieve, maintain, and manage total privatization of the globe. That position of clarity and certainty would have better positioned us to intervene and possibly defeat power's scheme to achieve total privatization of the globe by means of debt servitude. But what this is also bringing up for me is the need for we the people globally to move with speed, seeing how, when armed with the truth, we could have intervened in and perhaps even defeated this tactic, is also seeing this coda, if only temporarily, because with subsequent generations, the tactic is repeated. They repeat their tactics continuously if they're working. This is why it's so important that when a generation wakes up and understands power's game, sees that they're playing a long game, that they play unequivocally, that they act and plan globally, sees the tactics they're using, their habits of surveillance, their use of agents to foster systematically our uncertainty. We must move fast to achieve and establish in our enduring habits our global solidarity. Continuing with Emmanuel Wallerstein. The next set of debtors was the wave of large corporations, which, beginning in the 1980s, issued the famous junk bonds as a means of overcoming their liquidity problems. This led to acquisitions by a group of ravenous investors who made their money by stripping the enterprises of material value. The 1990s saw the beginning of extensive individual indebtedness, especially in the North, made possible by extensive use of credit cards and then later investment in housing. The first decade of the 21st century saw the remarkable rise in public indebtedness of the United States, resulting from the combination of enormous war costs and large-scale reduction in tax income. With the collapse of the U.S. housing market in 2007, the world's press and politicians took public note of a crisis. The efforts to bail out, quote-unquote, the banks, and in the case of the United States, to print currency. This was followed by the ever-widening circle of indebtedness of governments, leading to pressures everywhere for austerity measures to reduce state debt, which reductions simultaneously have reduced effective demand.